We'll leave you with this techno-linguistic question this hour. So what's your first language? Is it English? Spanish? Is it Chinese? Is it Arabic? Is it C? C++? Java? Python? Assembly? Manush Zomorodi, host and managing editor of WNYC's New Tech City. What was your first language?
It was actually two, English and German.
All right, but that's the terrestrial languages. What about programming language?
I would say the VCR. I was able to program the VCR.
Does that count? Ali Blackwell, does that count?
I think the VCR counts as a programming environment.
Ali Blackwell, co-founder of the programming training workshops run by the company Decoded. Your first language?
JavaScript.
JavaScript, that is, of course, a programming language. I'm wondering, Ali, and welcome to both of you, by the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Can we envision the time when a generation will learn a programming language either at the same time or before they learn a linguistic language? Is that within reach at this point, Ali?
I think it will come very soon after learning a normal language like English. I think they need to start learning the principles of programming at about six and carry on throughout education.
Now, you actually had this experience yourself, Manush. You decided to graduate from VCR assembly language to something more maybe practical, and you took one of Alistair Blackwell's courses.
I did. So, as you mentioned, I host a tech show, and I have to say, John, I'm just embarrassed at how little I really felt that I understood the workings of the laptops, the phones, everything that's running our digital life these days.
One of your listeners outed you. Come on. Right.
Every day, my friend. So I signed up. I was like, look, I don't have time. I have two little kids. I run a show. Let me go take this class called Code in a Day, run by this British company, Decoded, that is – Ali runs it.
Right.
And they're starting to do more classes in New York. So I signed up for a day. And, you know, to be honest, my goal was just to sort of confront my fears of I can't do this is what I sort of thought. And, you know, Ali, I give him a ton of credit because he's a – I think you described yourself as a failed actor turned coder. And, and you know, they spoke a normal language to someone like me who doesn't really – this doesn't come naturally to.
Well, here's somebody who also gave the would-be coders of the world a bit of a pep talk. You may recognize the voice of President Barack Obama.
Don't just buy a new video game. Make one. Don't just download the latest app. Help design it. Don't just play on your phone. Program it. No one's born a computer scientist, but with a little hard work and some math and science, just about anyone can become one.
Ali Blackwell, little hard work, little math and science, you can become a computer scientist. Is that realistic?
It is absolutely realistic.
Oh, Ali, I don't know. I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay, I think there's two sides to this. For young people just starting out in school, it takes a lot of time, but they've got the time to do that, and I think they're going to have that opportunity within school. For adults who didn't do it at school, we don't all need to be programmers. That's the truth. Manush, you run a show. You don't need to know how to code, but you need to have an understanding of it, and that's what our workshops provide. It's for the people who aren't ever realistically going to do a complete career change and become software developers. It's for people who just need to have that understanding, that broad understanding of technology.
Now, Manush, you've alluded to the challenge here that you've experienced personally. I took Fortran in college, a business language, COBOL, also a business language, then learned more recursive sort of AI languages like Pascal. All obsolete today, completely, absolutely. A lot of people know HTML if they have their own website,
yeah.
But the languages for building apps like Java and Python,
yeah,
making video games, those things are much more challenging. Where do you think the innovation tipping point is going to come if a sizable portion of the population actually does know how to code in the way that Ali is suggesting may happen?
I think that there's going to have to be a revamping of K-12 education and the way that we teach our kids' brains to function. I have to tell you, I was not the kid who understood multiplication. I was the kid who memorized the tables and spat it back out. And hopefully what we're seeing is that teachers are understanding that different brains work differently. There are different learning styles, and we have to break things down and explain to them how these things work, not just here it is, you know it for the test, and that's it. And I'm starting to see this with my own kids.
Languages, though, computer languages have also become much more intuitive. I mean, Fortran was an impossible language to figure out. It was very mathematical, but by the time you get to, you know, something like C++, it's much more intuitive. How far do we have to go to get it even more like the languages we speak today? Ali?
I think it will probably never get to the point where you can just say, computer, build me an app that tracks a user's location, and it will just be done. I think that probably won't happen. But the languages do get more intuitive, and there's less brackets and braces. So they do get more intuitive. But I doubt we'll ever be able to just sort of speak and it be programmed.
Do you think that a tipping point is out there, that innovation will be driven by fluency in computer programming, or is it, you know, something else, fundamentally different?
I really think it is that understanding of the possibilities of technology. Now, that, I mean, we see that as an understanding of the code that underpins technology, that if you have that understanding, you are aware of the possibilities. And as more and more people wake up to the possibilities that the rise of the web, the rise of big data gives us as a human species, as more and more people see that, then more and more innovation will happen.
Digital natives and their linguistic knowledge, do you think that's converging with some of the difficulties of computer programming languages, in the sense that we may have to revamp education, but kids are getting there on their own because they're learning,
you know,
they're much better at VCRs than you were?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's an example from my own life that I think of that would never happen today. In 10th grade, I was sat down by the department, the head of the math department, and told that I did not have a natural aptitude for math, and that maybe I should take the other track and not do calculus. In today's...
That person is in jail today?
I don't know. Right? And whatever, however long ago that was, a long time ago, I will say, 25 years ago, we're gasping at that. People don't talk like that anymore, as like, you don't have the aptitude. I think there's an acceptance that some of us are really awesome at some stuff and some of us are really not, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't give it a go.
So actor, coder, a final thought there, Ali?
I think education needs to fundamentally change. Attitudes amongst teachers need to change. It's not about broadcasting knowledge from the front. It's about learning alongside your students. And I think this will happen first in computer science and then in other subjects as well. So you will never have that idea again. Everyone learns in different ways. There's so much to learn. And also, education mustn't stop at 18 or 21.
And you've got acting as a backup, right? To fall back on if the coding thing doesn't work out. Ali Blackwell is one of the co-founders of Decoded, which runs workshops to teach anyone to code. He's also Manoush Zamarodi's coding instructor. Manoush Zamarodi, host and managing editor of WNYC's New Tech City. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Ali, and thank you, John.
Thanks, John. Great to see you, Manoush. Bye.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.